CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, I'm going to admit it. Robbie Williams makes me smile still. He does. There, I said it.
Why do you feel like it's a weird admission to make?
People always knock Robbie Williams, but that guy was huge back in the day. Like, huge. I know that he was in Russia for the World Cup and he was singing greatest hits for Russians. But, like, Millennium, that's a cool song. He's got loads of other cool songs. He had cool music videos. Because he's such a massive star, they put huge money into his music videos, obviously, back in the day. So, if you go through some of the music videos, like in that one I just played now, Millennium, he's like this James Bond character. And he's trying to get his little jetpack going. It doesn't work. And there's Aston Martin. And it's cool. But then again, like, I was young back then. So, obviously, Robbie Williams will resonate with my youth, my inner child.
Look, I admitted that I still think he's quite cute, so I'm fine with it.
Mm. Well, speaking of leading men, men and man and menses and manses, Craig Wilkinson was on the show this week, yeah?
Yes.
Now, he, of course, has a very, very interesting podcast series on Cliff Central right now. So just if you have, look, we know you can't listen to everything on our channel. I know you try. CliffCentral.com is just a plethora of great podcasts for you every single week, but this is definitely one of the best ones that we've had for, well, I'm going to say it, quite some time.
We're not trying to duck responsibility for the abuse that we commit as men. We're saying that, you know what, no excuses.
Right.
There are no excuses. As men, we step up to the plate, and I personally, I mean, I take the position of Maya Angelou. Nothing human is foreign to me.
Right.
So when a man behaves poorly, when a man is abusive and sexually violent against anyone, then as a man, I'm perfectly prepared to say that I take ownership for being part of the solution.
Right.
I cannot be held individually accountable for his individual misbehavior, his individual abuse, but what I can do is say that I am going to make myself accountable for being an example of how men should conduct themselves.
Right.
And so we want our listeners to know, the men who are listening, please don't think that because it's not you personally who's doing this horrific behavior or abusing women, or you don't recognize yourself in that scenario that men are hashtag men are trash. Don't take that personal. Mm-hmm. What you ought to take personal is the fact that you share in the responsibility to be a better example.
Damn right. Some hard-hitting stuff. Man-to-man talks that is here on Cliff Central. And make that part of your heritage too. You treat the women's as nicely. You treat yourself nicely. Everyone's happy in this country. But there is some really great insights. And the great thing about this podcast, what I've really enjoyed to the date, up to now, is that, you know, it was mentioned, like, the whole no excuses thing. People have excuses for all this kind of stuff. And they're always trying to work out, like, why they do things. Sometimes you just realize you're just being shit at stuff. You're not being a good person. You're not being honorable. You're not being fair. You're not being balanced. Treat people with respect and you'll get the same back. And of course, there's got a massive issue in this country around that kind of stuff because people see women as lesser, less masculine, of course, in nature, but it doesn't mean they're lesser in people. And there's some massive issues to fix. There's massive social wrongs to fix around this. But this podcast is doing what it can for that because it's putting the truth out there. You can never ask for more than that. So, catch that. Otherwise, on the messages, we've got Mr. Schmangel saying, oh, damn, I checked out some pictures of Nolo. She's hotter than Satan's toenail. I'm hoping I'm not seeing things in my moment of highness. Oh, and Ben, can't wait for next week's Doobie Smoking Show. Peace, people. Mr. Schmangel, yes. Man of words.
There's so much taken there. It's the name Schmangel. There is hotter than Satan's toenail. And calling a doobie. It's all happening.
Just on the story, on the first hour, we had a story in the news about teachers sending nudes to their kids.
Yes.
Lesiba, who's obviously road tripping to Mozambique today, so just wants to chime in on that again. If more teachers were sending nudes, I guarantee the pass rate will go up, fixing the country. Look, I'm not ideal. I think we should maybe focus on more conventional ways of doing it, but I'm not going to knock that. I'm not going to knock it ever. Ben, we watched Robbie Williams at Loftus years ago, and he was one of the best shows ever, according to Ankia. Born a performer. That's the thing. It's quality.
Robbie Williams. He's fun. I think he's an icon.
Yeah. Well,
of those times as well.
It is Friday, so I know that you're preparing yourself for a nice long weekend, or you're preparing just for some chill.
Yes.
So you and I are mostly chilling, but then again, that's the nature of our lives. Very overworked.
No, that is the nature of our lives.
No, I just said overworked. I didn't say anything after that.
Sure.
With Gareth's not here, we get some time to play some clips and some things. There's some things I actually wanted to play.
Okay.
I found this a couple of these things very funny. Because obviously, we've mentioned this before, the best content in the whole world is the WhatsApp groups that you curate with your mates, because you get sent all manner of things.
Mm.
Although, ever since I got this new phone, all the stuff kind of, it all goes into these folders. So I've got like a WhatsApp folder video. WhatsApp video folder.
Well, isn't that convenient?
No, because the stuff that I get sent is horrific.
Well, delete.
I have to, but then I was just going through. I was trying to do something innocent as finding a video of a cat the other day. Okay. I also showed my girlfriend like a picture, like a video of Meowsers was doing something cute. And what do I get? I get like flapping vagina lips, and I get this guy taking a shit and while doing a handstand.
Change your friends. I don't have none of that.
All of this pops up before I can even just show an innocent cat video, and she's looking at me going, "Hmm, there you go, yeah." Something I've always found really funny in sport is these dreadful press conferences where they all just say like these really cliched things. But the comedian has now taken that and kind of put it into a sexual context. This is safe sexual context, of course.
But guys do ask questions, though. Guys do ask questions, and every guy in here has done it. We've all done it. And a guy's question happens after sex. That's when a guy's question comes. Things will happen in the bedroom, we finish up, and you roll over, and you look at her and be like, did the magic happen? Did you reach the mountaintop? That's when the guy will ask. And every guy in here has done it. And ladies, I'll break it down for you. This is where it comes from. It comes from our love of sports. Our love of sports, and even more so, the press conference. There's the interviews and analysis. You have to answer questions for how you just played in the game. I would rather the girl ask questions after sex. That's right, just like a press conference. I would rather things happen, and then she rolls over and she looks at me and she says, "Well, how do you feel about your performance tonight?" That's right. And guys, you have to answer, whether it's good or bad. Just like a press conference, you have to answer. If it's good, it's like, well, you know, tonight was one of those special nights, you know? You prepare for moments like this your whole life. I had a good warm-up. I felt strong going in. You know, I felt like I was in the zone tonight, like I could just keep going. You know? Some great teamwork. Down the stretch, I was the go-to guy. And let's not forget that this is a game of inches. And tonight I managed to get every inch. And I can't believe I didn't say this first. I'd like to thank God for this opportunity. Press conference. Even if it's bad, guys, you still have to answer. Even if it's bad. If it's bad, it's like, ugh. Well, the defense was strong. I couldn't penetrate the zone. There were some key moments of the game where I came up short. Didn't go deep like I wanted to. And you don't want to have a string of bad games, because I don't want to get traded. I don't want to get traded. I want to stay on this team. I think I can still contribute to this team. And I don't want to make any excuses, but, you know, my hamstring. Anyway. Also, this was an away game. I usually play way better at home.
So if your heritage is having sex this weekend, then yeah, have a bit of a press conference afterwards. That's pretty funny.
Are we stretching this heritage thing now?
Of course, yeah.
Heritage is having sex.
No, it just is. Like, a lot of the holidays that in this country we forget about. A lot of the holidays. Like, in this country we forget about, or they're pretty fucking morbid. I mean, let's be honest. Like, we all have history and we all appreciate history. We all know where this country's been and what's happened. But a lot of it is just quite fucking mundane and boring and just not so cool. Heritage, it's a progressive future holiday in my mind. So it's about what we're doing going forward. And that's why it's special for me. It's not just about commiserating. It's actually about adding something. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Want to get into the news stories?
Yeah, let's get into a couple of stories.
It's Friday. Let's be fun with things. Let's not take ourselves all too seriously. So something to just make you laugh and think about today. Folks, if anyone is looking for a job, well, here's an amazing position that's waiting to be filled. If you are in New York, a company that manufactures home pizza ovens is offering the chance for you to stuff your face and stuff your wallet at the same time because they are looking for people who will make and eat tons of pizza. Yes. The company's called Oni, O-N-I, and they will pay lucky workers up to $1,000 a day to create pizza with, particularly, their portable wood-fired ovens. So that's all you're getting paid for, just to test the ovens, to make sure that you have a great experience. Did it work for you? Did it not? And you get paid a cool $1,000.
I want this now.
Like, can we please... Candidates can apply all the way up to the 14th of October as long as you post a video of yourself demonstrating how you would use a pizza oven. But this got me thinking to some of the ridiculous jobs that are out there that exist and that seem wacky to all of us. So I've pulled up a list here of some of the crazy jobs that exist around the world. And so let's just go through some of them. In Japan, you can be paid to be a professional pusher. We know how Japan is like this hardworking nation.
What are you pushing?
You're pushing people out of the way in trains. So you know how there's so many people in the subways there. And you know, the Japanese love to be punctual and on time. You can be paid to make sure that you push and stuff people into the trains.
Oh, wait, I've seen these people. They have these strange, like, harness things. It's almost like putting fat people into corsets. That's how they get people into trains. I've legit seen this. This is the craziest thing.
How's your day at work, honey? Well, pushed so many people into that train today. Or you have to, like pull people out of the train just so that everything stays on time.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people all the time. So being a professional pusher, that might be it for you. Don't knock until you've tried it, girl. Don't knock until you've tried it.
I think I want this job, actually. I do so well in it.
No, it's great. What they do is that they stand by the door, and then they wait for people to get to a point where literally there's always three or four that wouldn't get in unless they really pushed. And then they just get stuck into it. They just cram everyone in.
Oh, that's, man, it.
But it's such an organized society is that you're used to this by now, that this is how you brace for getting into a train.
It's like, okay, just another day. Here we go.
And how much are they getting paid?
I don't know. I don't have that on me, but yeah,
it's a very close-knit society because you will be in someone's armpit in a matter of seconds, and that's how you got to be for your duration of your commute.
Close-knit sounds very civil. It's more like whether you like it or not, you have to be that close to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Staying to some weird things that happen in Asia, in Tokyo, you can actually be a rental boyfriend. I think we've briefly discussed this before.
Is that where rent boy comes from? Oh, that's slightly different.
Yeah, that's different. This is more of the concept of people who, you know, they are busy, they come back from work, they don't necessarily want to be in a relationship, but they just want the convenience of having someone there.
Yeah.
So being a rental boyfriend or girlfriend, you will come home, you will, you know, just cuddle with the person. You will always make sure that their favorite program is scheduled and recorded on TV. This is just how it is, being a rental boyfriend or girlfriend.
I guess it's also someone to, like, just message during the day, send the cat video to, whatever.
I know. I think that's a bit too much.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's different packages here of what you can get out of this rental boyfriend.
Well,
Can you imagine, like, okay, I want you to beat this guy up. Well, that's more money.
Yeah, yeah, it's not my vibe. No, I just wanted to sit on the couch here and hold your hand as we watch TV. Sign me up for this one, please. But being a professional sleeper. Some people have this just to go into a lab with scientists as they try to study more about sleep, or if particularly you may suffer from sleep issues, you can go into a lab, sleep in front of a scientist, and they're allowed to do some tests around you. I have no problem with this at all. This is all good with me. And then we've seen some wedding guests for hire. We've seen some professional mourners. There are even in the world people who are deodorant testers. This is a legitimate thing. And if you think about it, there is a need for this. If a new brand is coming out with a new line of fragrances and they need to find out how does it work on the skin, how does it work if you have been out running for a couple of minutes and you come back, will the scent still be the same? So you just need to get into someone's armpit or wrist and you start smelling how that is.
Because I guess that's where these companies come out with 48-hour protection. Someone's actually sat there for 48 hours, just gone through the motions without showering for 48 hours to be the 48-hour protection person.
Yes, isn't it weird?
All of this comes from somewhere involving someone getting paid to do something.
You know what, guys? There's just hope. And then finally, in a list of some crazy jobs around the world, you can be a bicycle fisher in Amsterdam.
Guys like High Rob obviously crashing into the canals, and therefore they need people to get the bikes out.
Exactly. This is a legitimate thing. Amsterdam is known as like this bicycle-friendly city, and it's no surprise that there are so many bicycles that end up in their water there. And each year, Amsterdam fishes out about 14,000 bicycles.
Wow.
From its waterways. 14,000.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, if you're up for that, you can go ahead and be a bicycle fisher. But look, some crazy jobs all around the world. It's just so funny.
Julie Chen, she's been in the news recently, huh?
Julie Chen, a bit of a recap, because this is a story we've been keeping tabs on for the past couple of days. But Julie Chen, American broadcaster who's been married to Les Moonves, who's the former CEO, we can now officially say former CEO of the large television network CBS. There was an investigation that happened, and tons of women have come out and said, look, he was inappropriate with me over many, many years. He's been seedy and dodgy. He's touched me inappropriately. And there has been an investigation that has been happening over the past little while. He has officially stepped down as the CEO of CBS. He's had this millions of dollars payout that he has been received. CBS, the network, will still keep him on as a consultant to the channel. Isn't that quite awkward, though? So he's not the CEO anymore.
But they have to kind of keep him on because he's given them so much. He's done so much.
But they recognize his value. You know, if you've run the company for so long, they want to be able to call him up and say, listen, Les, what did you do here?
Or, like, Les, you're a dodgy bastard, but we can't actually
function without you.
So legally, this is where we are now. You're a consultant person.
Employees have complained about him, but they'll still probably bump into him in the office. Regardless, Julie Chen, who is his wife and is the host of Big Brother and also is one of the co-hosts on a talk show called The Talk in the States, has now officially stepped down as one of the co-hosts on The Talk, and this is what she said around it.
With massive eyelashes. Massive. Her whole face is just eyelashes.
I have been at The Talk since the day it started 9 years ago. And the cast, crew, and staff have become family to me over the years. But right now, I need to spend more time at home with my husband and our young son. So I've decided to leave The Talk. I want to thank everyone at the show for the wonderful years together. I will always, always cherish the memories we shared. Most important, I want to thank you, the viewers, for allowing me into your home every day.
You're welcome.
It was a privilege that I will forever be grateful for.
So then she now goes on to...
Julie's got things to say. Yeah.
I send you my love. I will miss you all very, very much.
Bullshit. Behind the scenes. You have no idea who's operating these cameras, Julie. You have no idea who's got the boom mic in their hand. You have no idea who's scratching the nuts right now saying, get on with it, Julie.
To Eve, you're the newest one at the table, but I feel like I've known you forever. You are even more beautiful inside than you are on the outside.
It's pronounced Eve. And then she had more to say.
Well, she'll go on and thank all her co-hosts on the show, and she'll weep a bit. But I just find it so interesting. Imagine if you were in her situation. What would you exactly do? Because you are a public figure. As much as you work and you've built your own career up, your loved one is now center stage in this much scandal, and there's no way you can play it off without people being so obvious about it.
Yeah.
Because the premise of the talk is it's these women who speak about everyday issues.
Yeah.
If she had stayed on, how would she have ever spoken about Harvey Weinstein again? Or how would, even just innocently,
good point.
If they comment on, oh, the divorce rate in the states has now gone up. How do you comment about someone else's marriage?
Oh, we go straight to Julie with her take on this.
Right? When did you have wanted to see that?
So she gives that sort of auto-cued farewell, and then 2 days later she's back on TV.
Our grand prize, and it all plays out live. For now, let's eavesdrop on the final four. From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Julie Chen Moonves. Good night.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, as much as
that was her final done.
As much as she's not on the talk, she'll still host Big Brother every week, and people have been picking up the fact that she now calls herself Julie Chen Moonves, which she's never done before. So people are starting
she's
probably standing by her husband through this.
Well, she probably, I'm speculating obviously here, but I mean, what happens with these high-powered people when they get into scandals is they see the lawyers. The lawyers probably give to him straight, like, look, you can leave him and you'll get this, you can stay with him and then you'll get this. And she's going, look, we're not exactly having sex anymore anyway. Esteban the pool boy and I have been far more intimate in the last 3 years than this guy. So she, and they're staying at it. I mean, Bill Cosby's wife,
Camille Cosby,
she, the lawyers probably said, you can leave him and get this, you can stay with him and have this, and she was like, yeah, I'll make it rain on option two, thanks. This piece of shit's not getting away from this lightly, and I'm just going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, fuck it, he's not going to say anything.
On a human note or human level, I think it would have been more powerful if she did actually say something, or if these allegations are true, whether she thinks they're true, you know, to leave the marriage, write a book, talk about it publicly. I think she would have more respect. Right now, it's just obvious that she's taken the easy way out. But anyway, we can't really judge because we don't know the truth.
Go for it, Julie. You be you.
Yeah.
People will forget about this crap in a week's time. Your life is your life every single day.
And then just one of the final things that I want to bring up this morning. Apple had its iOS 12 update this week. Have you updated? Oh, you aren't on Apple anymore.
I've still got an Apple phone.
Did you update?
No. I charge the batteries somewhere.
Not really worth it, I think.
It's like this unloved cousin on the sideline.
But if you want to really get a gauge of how developed and how advanced human society is, well, Apple, this is what you get. Part of the iOS 12 updates is a new app called Measure. This app uses AR to quickly gauge the size of real-world objects similar to a tape measure, and this new app will automatically provide dimensions of objects. So, like, if you put the app up and you point your phone towards a picture frame or a poster or signs, you'll be able to know the diagonal measurements and you'll be able to figure out the area.
I'll say it because we're all thinking about it. This is going to change dick pics forever.
Yes!
Forever.
Exactly, Edwin. It's only been a couple of days, and people are now reporting that dick pics have now been changed because of this new app. Really, Apple, what did you think was going to happen?
I was like half listening to you there while I looked at the rest. This sounded like a dick pic app from the beginning.
Apple is reporting this. They're now just slightly flustered because they're like, what? People are using our Measure app for all the wrong of dick pics? Oh, please, Apple, cry me a river. What did you think was going to happen?
Obvious.
Some people are requesting this now. The Measure app, I think this single-handedly is worth getting the iOS 12 update. Anyway.
Definitely. I'm going to go charge my phone and have a look later. Brevecto, you know, they are, Casper De Vries is their new ambassador.
Yes.
You know, obviously, because Friday is the Casper radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we need to tell you about this. Casper is endlessly funny. And so now, as the ambassador for Brevecto, this is what he's all about.
Casper is here, brought to you by Brevecto, the tasty treat that protects dogs against ticks, fleas, and mites for 12 weeks. Mm.
It might protect you for 12 long weeks.
So do you have ticks? Is this why you're an ambassador for Brevecto? Do you have ticks and fleas?
I have. You can see my eye. It's a tick, and there's a tick again. No, that's my Tourette's. No. I'm an ambassador, and I'm so proud to announce that for Brevecto. And that's not for me, though. I would eat it gladly because it's such a good thing. But it's for dogs.
Oh, so for Kent.
For Kenty, yes.
So Kent's the ambassador. Actually, you're just the human provider.
I'm the provider. Oh. But the thing is, years and years ago, I was walking with my two dogs then, Halfrida and Kent, in the veld. And all of a sudden, I just saw these gray blobs all over them. And what the hell is this? Because I moved to a very rural place, and it was ticks. And
how revolting.
It's revolting.
Those big blue ones that burst.
I know. But they are not that bad. The bad ones are the small little red ones.
Yeah.
They can spread disease. I still discover one or two between my legs now and then. I'm joking. Yeah. And then I called someone in and they said, you know what you need? I said, no. Brevecto, they said. I said, what the hell is that? And so I got introduced to Brevecto. You give it to the dog as a treat. It's a liver. It tastes like liver. Hey, Kent. Kent is here. Hey, Kent.
Yeah, he is. He's sitting right
here. Yeah, he's waving his little tail. And then they eat it, and then for 3 months, like, they are, the ticks just fall off.
Yeah, it's 12 weeks exactly, and that's 3 times longer than traditional monthly treatments.
I know.
Yeah, very good.
Look, Brevecto is not the cheapest you can find,
but it's
good. It's the best. So I've never encountered a product like that before in my life. And so when I bumped into the Brevecto people, I said, I love you. And they said, do you want to be an ambassador? And I said, where? Thinking it's going to be a country.
Ireland or Italy.
Just for these bloody pills.
Well, the bloody pills work because Kent looks in very happy shape.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, you've been a part of the Cliff Central family since the beginning.
Yes.
You used to come in with both of your dogs at the time, Helfrida and Kent, and we got to know them well.
Yeah.
And shame, I was very sad to read the other day on your social media that Helfrida has passed on.
Oh, it was horrible, yeah.
How are you and Kent dealing with that?
Well, Kent is not dealing that well, shame. That's why I brought him along now, because he's nervous. But what do you call it? An anxiety. What do you call that?
Yeah, it's anxious.
He's anxious, yeah. And I think he misses Helfrida, of course. He does. He doesn't know what's going on.
Because they were both very close, and you take them for walks.
Yes.
And you would ride on your
Segway together. And also when I leave sometimes, then they would stay and they would entertain themselves. Now Kent is on his own, so he doesn't quite know what to do. And then a week after Frida died, I was burgled. I wasn't there. God. Kent was there.
They
chased poor Kent out of the house, so now he's even more nervous. He doesn't know what the hell. So it was not a very good time for us. But now I'm taking him along everywhere, and he's enjoying it. Shame, poor thing. But now he's fine.
Did you have a ceremony for Helfrida?
Not yet.
Are you going to?
When I'm
memorial service.
Strong enough, I will do that. Okay. Yes. Because it was quite a shock.
Is there any song that you're thinking would be appropriate to play?
You know, you can play a song now called Goodbye, My Friend. It's a beautiful song.
Mm.
Yeah. And
who will you invite to the funeral?
Well, friends who knew Helfrida. It's not a funeral. I think it'll be a memorial.
Can I come?
You can, of course. You might see me cry a bit.
I liked Helfrida a lot more than some of our staff.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah, no, oh, shame, man. The thing is that you see her and then you realize you're not seeing her anymore. She's not there, and she's not there, and you call her, and you know, all these things still happen, and because she's been there for so many years. But it was the best because she was ill and she had very bad hips all of a sudden. She couldn't walk.
She was a
walk,
German Shepherd. Huh?
German Shepherd. Mm. Couldn't walk anymore, walked a bit and then lay down. And even that made me so sad to see that the vet said, yeah, no, it's better not to have her be like this. Suffer. Because it's pain for her. Yeah.
Dink any... Dit sal makliker wees as ons mense so behandel. I mean, like if people, because we always think that we're being humane by keeping people alive when they're actually having a terrible time. You keep those machines going and they're not even conscious.
Yeah.
And we're almost nicer to the animals because we don't put them through that suffering. We go, well, you know what? They're not in a position to decide for themselves. So we're going to do what the best possible thing is for them and let them sleep.
Absolutely. And, you know, we let people who don't even have the option to say something live. They just vegetate there in a bed.
Bed sores.
So I belong to this death with dignity thing.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful idea. And, you know, if I'm in pain, I don't want to crawl. I want to rondkruip in die op die bed in pain. Let me go and sleep.
And drool and talk nonsense.
Oh, my God, and wet yourself. No, mm-hmm. No. No, I would also like to go when it's time to go with dignity. And that's what Helfrida did. She died with dignity still, so that's good.
No, I've always thought that you were a really good ambassador for pets because you treated your dogs like they were family.
Yes.
And you still do with Kent.
Yeah.
And you used to bring them to work with you.
Yeah.
You used to take them for walks. I mean, I always think that people who have pets have to realize that it's a serious responsibility.
24-hour thing.
You look after their health, feed them right, all that kind of thing. And they almost become as important to some people. I know there are people who don't understand this, and I'm not worried about them. I'm not going to try and convert them. But people who understand how important those animals are to those of us who consider them family.
Years ago, when I was just starting out in this business, there was a Marilyn Van Rienen or her girlfriend. I can't remember who it was. She had to perform that night at Club 58. Club 58, Hillbrow, and she phoned in and said she can't because her dog died. And I didn't understand that. I said,
what is this?
How can a dog's death hamper you from performing? I didn't understand. I completely understand now. I completely understand because you really, it's the saddest I've been in my life.
More sad than your mother?
Mother, yes.
Really?
I was in a tuss, yeah. No, really. I mean, I miss my mother. Very much. but we were very good friends. But she would agree with me. She would also miss Helfrida more than me. It you go in shock, you know? You go in shock. I started to hook. What do you call hiccups? From shock.
I know it's going to cut me up if anything happens to my dog. Well, when? Because we all have to realize like their lifespans are not as long as ours.
Yeah.
Whew, it's going to be horrible.
It's horrible.
I don't want to think about it. But thank you for sharing that story. I'm glad that you and Kent are in good shape.
Yes, thanks to Brevecto. I'm ambassador, you know.
There we are. So Brevecto, here's what you need to know, is that Brevecto is the tasty treat that protects dogs from ticks, fleas, and mites for 12 mm-hmm. weeks. Casper, very nice to see you.
Thank
nice
you.
To talk to you.
For more of Casper De Vries, well, you can listen to him today. His show is full of all bunches of crazies, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. He's just got the most interesting people, from the likes of stage and screen actors to comedians to just really interesting things. Casper's actually a really good interviewer. Have you ever noticed? You listen to his show. He's a really, really good interviewer.
Yeah, it's really fun. The team gets in together. They play music. They sing. They cock it up. They skinner. It's all good.
But was it? It's just, sorry, George, but the way he structures interviews I find amazing because you just think he's just going to be cracking jokes and being weird, but he's really good. He's a great talk show host.
Wasn't he the drummer for the Bats or something? No.
Casper De Vries?
No. I'm thinking of somebody else. Yeah, it wasn't Casper.
He's probably drummed on some bats because he lives in those rural areas. But I don't think Casper's much of a band guy. Yeah. He would miss the first rehearsal and that'd be the end of it.
Because there was that that band called the, I think it was the Bats.
That the name sounds familiar. Yeah. I don't think Casper's part of it. Yeah. That is, of course, the voice of George Meany. George is here on behalf of the Order Central crew. George, interesting week in cars.
Yeah, it has been indeed.
I saw some of my car friends at a nice new launch for the BMW X4, which made me somewhat, well, just jealous, really. Down at the Oyster Box.
Was it the Oyster Box or was it the X4?
It's both. See, because this is what these fancy car companies do, right? They're doing everything right. So they can't just go like, here's our really great car, here's a City Lodge. Everything is on the same level. So whenever they do these events, everything represents what the brand's about. Yeah. So yeah, I get jealous. I used to go to a few events here and there, but I'm not into the cars like I used to be. Yeah. But what else has been happening, apart from these nice things that I didn't get invited to?
You're not bitter at all.
Not at all.
I think I'm going to arrange something for Ben just to... Just to whet his appetite or stem his disappointment.
Both sounds good.
Yeah, I think so. You may or may not have read that Auto Trader has now officially become the title sponsor for the South African Car of the Year.
That's a very, very big deal. So, I mean, this is an institution, this Car of the Year thing.
Absolutely an institution. So if you don't, I mean, if the listeners don't understand what Car of the Year is, or should I say, let's rewind a little bit. What is the Guild? Mm-hmm. So the Guild is a collection, or not collection, a group of journalists in the country, motoring journalists in the country, that have come together, formed a body, almost like an industry body. And, you know, Lawrence can probably unpack this better than what I can, but it's an industry, because he's one of the journalists that belongs to this guild. It's an industry body of motoring journalists, and they got together back in the 50s, I think it was. When did they get together?
I think it was the early 80s.
Early 80s, okay.
Late 70s, early 80s.
Okay, so they got together many, many years ago, and they formed this body called the Guild. Yep. And out of this body called the Guild rose this competition called the South African Car of the Year, which was modeled on International Car of the Year. The one in Europe. And so this South African Car of the Year has been going for, I don't know about the 80s, because I believe it's been going for 57 years.
Yeah, maybe the guild was formed in that time.
Yeah.
I know, it does feel like it's been around a lot longer than me.
Yeah, it's very, very long. Anyway, an Auto Trader's heritage of 26 years, and I think the marriage of these two entities, if you want to call it, is a good thing for the industry, because South African Car of the Year, one of the things that we're going to bring to the party as Auto Trader is our ability to market.
Yeah.
And try and add some value to making sure that the consumer gets involved, because that is the element that I think is the future of the South African Car of the Year, is getting the consumer involved in voting on which car is their favorite, and then alongside that, the journalists and the way they vote and judge the cars.
I mean, it's a lovely balance, because you've got the integrity. I mean, as journalists go, the motor industry does have a lot of integrity. I mean, these people who've been around, of course, there's a lot. I mean, journalism in general, we talk about on the show right now, is that a lot of it's clickbaity crap. Murder journalism. You can't fake news a car.
Yeah.
It's either really good or it's not. You know, you can do the
Oyster Box stuff.
You will be found out. Okay? Yeah. You'll be found out if you're taking a bit of a take in motor. But also, like, because of the nature of cars in this country, of course, they've been such a massive part of our lives. The consumer, everyone's passionate about cars.
Yeah.
People that just drive cars, they're like, these are the like, see, I had a story earlier, actually, about how these people tracked down this car of like 12 years ago that their father had to sell. But it was so dear to him, but because of finance, he had to sell it. They tracked it down and bought it again.
Yeah.
So cars are more than just like vehicles. They really are hopes and dreams and all kinds of things for us.
Exactly. So we're really excited to be the title sponsor for the longest standing, biggest car, competition that South Africa's ever had. And Lawrence is absolutely right. The South African Car of the Year started in 1986, but the Guild is 57 years
there
old.
The Guild's been around at the competition. And actually, one of the guys that writes for us was on the very first Car of the Year
We shall call it the adventure, because you can ask Stuart about it, and he'll tell you some pretty crazy stories about what the car of the year was actually like back in the 80s.
You know, Stuart doesn't look that old, but Stuart's been around the block. He does Ignition TV stuff as well, eh?
Correct.
Yeah.
Sorry, just before you go on, Eddie Eksteen was the guy at Planet of the Bats.
There we go. There we go. Sorry.
Kind of similar. Casper. Kind of similar in shape.
Yes.
And bravado.
Exactly. Thanks for clearing that up, Ben. Moving on from a South African car of the year, Aston Martin has brought out a DB11 that will make you feel like James Bond. This car, out of the factory, is not armor plated. It is hijack proof and doesn't weigh hundreds of thousands of kilograms like a tank does. Mm-hmm. So they've got protective armor on this car that doesn't decrease the performance of Aston Martin.
What have they used for that?
They've used a lightweight armoring, which could be a combination of different materials. I mean, it doesn't say what the material's made of, but all they say is that it's made of lightweight armoring and is anti kidnapping and can withstand handguns, kidnapping, carjacking, and even the theft of valuables out of your car.
Wow, I'd love to see how they do their NCAP 5-star rating. Whoa. Like, how do you test? How do you test that? Like, where do you go? What do you shoot it with? That would be fascinating.
I don't think much can stop an AK-47, to be honest. But a handgun, as long as it can stop a handgun, I suppose.
Because there's an asterisk on that armor plating. I mean,
yeah,
rifles, missile launchers.
Yeah, you're not going to stop those things. So anyway, it says composite material fitted inside the doors and is a level 4 certified ballistic glass on the windows. So who knows? Maybe this will become the thing of the future. And they reckon that the slight increase in weight doesn't impact the performance of this DB11.
That's incredible, because sometimes you just still want to look cool while being sought after by criminals.
While being sought after. It just sounds like an oxymoron. Looking cool, being sought after by criminals.
I don't want to consider being sought after by criminals in the first place.
And then Scotland is doing something brand new. They don't have enough police resource to be vigilant enough against speeding, people that speed. So what they've done is they've roped in the community and given them the ability to get trained and arm them with speed cameras, you know, those radar speed camera things.
Wow.
So this is in Edinburgh, Scotland, and the Scottish government is endorsing this, and civilians can get involved in stopping speeding.
What do you think about this?
It could be a little bit I don't know. Sometimes you get civilians that get vigilante-ish.
Yes, that was my first thought, yeah.
I particularly don't... I like the concept of these... I mean, and you get them in South Africa, the concept of these police forums. I don't know if you've come across these forums.
Oh, yeah, like CPFs, community policing forums, yes.
But I've heard of horror stories where these civilians become part of these associations and then they become vigilantes. Mm. I mean, in my particular area, a couple of people have been pulled over by the CPF guys and for driving recklessly. That's not their job. Mm. You know, driving recklessly is not acceptable.
It's quite subjective.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think what they're going with here is that you're literally getting a piece of technology that's governed in a certain way. You can't tamper with it.
Yes.
So it's not going to be like, well, you were doing 85 miles an hour because I said so.
Exactly.
Exactly. So there's a fair amount of control here.
Yeah.
But then it begs the question, like, then why are there not just more fixed speed things or that expensive?
Well, I mean, I would imagine that laying the infrastructure for those fixed speed cameras could be more expensive versus a handheld device.
You're going to get Fergus coming out of the pub. He's just going to be aiming the gun at drivers for 3 hours on a Friday night.
Maybe.
Doing his community bits.
maybe. And then, exposure to cool cars. So back in the 1980s, it was pretty common occurrence for TV shows and comic books to be aimed at children, focused on do-gooders and then also evil gangs of baddies. And usually cars were part of those stories. I don't know if you remember anything from your childhood, Ben.
A little bit here and there.
You know, I suppose in the next, in the last 10 or 15 years, it's been Transformers. But, you know, then we got the movie Cars. You remember the movie Cars?
Of course. That's probably my most recent memory.
And, you know, so we pulled out some old pictures of, you know, kiddies things, which included cars and trucks everywhere. And do you remember Herbie?
Of course, yeah.
Who doesn't remember Herbie?
Herbie. There was the Herbie, the original Herbie, the Herbie reboot with Lindsay Lohan.
Knight Rider.
Of course, Knight Rider.
MacGyver.
MacGyver. MacGyver wasn't so carsy, was he?
No, he wasn't so carsy. But
like Magnum, of course.
Yes. Magnum PI, the Ferrari.
Was a biggie. Yeah.
James Bond.
The A-Team's AMC truck, whatever. Was it AMC?
Yes, it wasn't. Yes, the A-Team, you're right.
Yeah, that was pretty iconic.
Yeah.
And then James Bond was probably
the Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's just the way that those cars were is so essential to him.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes. Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, you got it. Dukes of Hazzard. Well done. Well done. You said the A-Team, Magnum PI.
Even
Fast and the Furious in recent times.
Well, then of course Fast and Furious. I mean, that's a show in itself.
How many of them are there now?
I think we're going into nine.
Nine.
Next one's nine.
Next one's nine. Okay.
Lawrence approves, so therefore it's right.
And then, very lastly, and very sadly for me, but you know what? He's done a bloody good job. Lewis Hamilton won Singapore over the last weekend. And
yeah, you kind of feel that's it.
Yeah, I think
mathematically, obviously. Yeah. But you know, you made a good point recently of saying that Ferrari had such a great chance. Mm. Tactics weren't exactly; they were just all over the place. They've squandered another prime opportunity to do this. And it was almost like the feeling of inevitability. It started off so good, and then this happens. And then Hamilton's just picking at the pieces.
He is. He's, you know, the one thing Hamilton is doing in a car that's slower than Ferrari is he's being consistent, he's level head, and he's just focused.
And that's just it. Like, he just gets that point. That's what happens with great champions. They know what to do to win.
Yeah.
They know on their day they can beat everybody, but they also know what to do just to beat people.
Exactly.
Because they've got to make all the running. They've got to take all the risks. And he's going to go, yeah, come at me. And you'll just do it.
And he'll just do it. And if it doesn't, I mean, he does. I've seen him get all emotional and stuff, but he doesn't let that get the better of him.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of navigates through it and then goes and does what he did in Singapore.
Yeah, so where is the next one, George?
Where is the next one? I've been away for the last week.
I watched a fascinating thing, actually. We'll play it next week for you. The logistics of moving F1 around and how between air freight, buses, and big tankers. You think you've got the Canadian Grand Prix. You've got Singapore, you just mentioned now.
Yeah.
You've got the UAE. You've got South America. Obviously, Europe. Europe's pretty easy because they can transport those buses quite simply overnight. But the turnaround times, and it's just crazy what goes on. So you go from Europe and suddenly you're in Asia.
Yeah.
But an F1 team is a small city. How many teams are there? There's then the racetrack, and then there's everything else. It is mind-boggling how
they move the stuff around.
Dakar is the same.
I would imagine, yeah.
I was in South America at the beginning of the year, and it is a small city. And when they finish up the stages in Paracas, overnight, that entire city that took up the entire side of a sand dune is just gone. And they've moved on to another country.
But that's just it, taking up the side of a sand dune. It's like you're plugging into a town. You're literally plugging into an area.
They actually grade roads. They have water trucks that keep the dust down.
Unreal.
Access. There's even intersections. And like, you know, it's on the fourth intersection. That's where the little shop is to buy your food and...
I wonder if they create names for those roads they create.
I think they actually do, but they're all in Spanish, so I can't pronounce any of them.
Next Formula One race is Russia, on the 28th of September.
Okay. Yeah. Is that also in Sochi? Everything's in Sochi.
Don't know.
George,
if it's Sochi, they'll take it over.
Is that a wrap for the week, George?
That's the wrap for the week.
All right. So, of course, if you want to hear more of George, 9 a.m. Mondays here at cliffcentral.com, him and the Auto Central team. And, there was actually a story I forgot to mention earlier in the sport about the Russians. They've somehow managed to get their ban from WADA overturned, despite not doing the last two things that were required of them. Firstly, admitting things and saying sorry. Secondly, turning over the evidence from their lab in Moscow. They didn't do either. but they managed to be
the Russians.
The Russians.
You've got not to be scared. They don't need to apologize.
If they had the chance to do something nicely and above board, or the chance to do things in a Russian sense and kind of dodgy, they will make it rain a number two every time. George, thanks so much for joining us. Lawrence, thanks for the info. And we should actually talk about the Dakar sometime. Because will it ever come back to Africa?
They're talking about 2024, north of our borders, though, but within driving distance.
Because remember, as a young lad, I went to the end of the Paris-Le-Cap, which was basically, they didn't go to Dakar, they just kept going to Cape Town.
Yeah.
Well, they're
and that was amazing to see those cars.
The talk around the water cooler is Namibia.
Okay.
That'll be cool.
Over into Botswana and back again. Because, well, really far north is just too dangerous, and South America, as far as I understand it, they're having a little bit of trouble with the finance of crossing three countries.
Yeah.
So, yeah, here's hoping.
Bring it. Sia, anything else you want to add before we get into the weekend?
Dusted, long weekend time. Have a good weekend.
Right, and Sia says it best. We've got Mark Pilgrim's interview with Gareth Cliff in the third hour to take you fully into the weekend. Otherwise, have a nice long weekend. We are not here on Monday, but we are back on the Tuesday, and it'll be a full team.
Yay.
Hooray. CliffCentral.com.